Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaurav Prabhu to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4th Canto 24th Chapter 8th Verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Sukumar Gaurav Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining and giving your association. Hare Krishna, can you please on your video Prabhu? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, it will be difficult since we don't have a Wi-Fi connection here. I'm giving it from my mobile. So maybe the connection may break in between if I make a video call.
Okay, okay, Prabhu. We will do some other way. Okay, thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So should we start the class, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, please.
Okay. Hare Krishna. So we'll start with offering our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, then I'll recite the shloka. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Natanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, and Text 8 and 9. So Text 8 is, Avirdana Dhavirdani Vidura Sutashat Sutan Marishadam Gayam Shuklam Krishnam Satyam Jitavratam. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Havirdhan, the son of Maharaj Antardhan, had a wife named Havirdhani, who gave birth to 6 sons named Barishat, Gaya, Shukla, Krishna, Satya, and Jitavrata. So since we don't have a purport here, so we'll take text 9 as well. Barishat Sumahabhago Havirdhane Prajapati Kriyakandeshu Nishnanto Yogeshu Chakrutvaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya continued, My dear Vidura, Havirdhana, very powerful son named Barishat, was very expert in performing various kinds of fruitive activities. And he was also expert in the practice of mystic yoga. By his great qualifications, he became known as a Prajapati. In the beginning of creation, there were not many living entities, and consequently, the very powerful living entities or demigods were appointed as Prajapatis in order to beget children and increase population. There are many Prajapatis like Brahma, Daksha, Manu, and are sometimes known as Prajapatis, and Barishat, the son of Havirdhana, became one of them. Hare Krishna, we welcome all devotees for this Bhagavatam session. Grateful to all of you for allowing me to make a presentation here on this wonderful group, Bhakti Sangha group, and seeking all blessings of all the Vaishnavas and assembled Vaishnavis, so that I can glorify Srimad Bhagavatam in whatever capacity I have. So this chapter is entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. It's also called as Rudra Gita. And at the start of the chapter, we find that glories and activities of King Vijitashva, who is the son of Maharaj Prithu, eldest son of Maharaj Prithu, his glories are being sung. And we see here in this pastime that as per the rule, he was made the king since he was the eldest son, and it's the rule that the eldest son becomes the king. King Vijitashva became the ruler, emperor of the entire planet Earth. So Shloka 1 and 2 highlights his qualities. So one of the main qualities that Prabhupada highlights in the purport is Bhratra Vatsala. He was so affectionate to his brothers. He was so affectionate that he shared the kingdom with his brothers. And this quality is also very important quality, as together they would have to do the task of ruling and expanding the kingdom. So somebody would ask, where did he get this quality from? So Shukadev Goswami is saying, Prithu Putra Prithu Shrava. He got this from his father, Prithu Shrava. And also, what does Prithu Shrava mean? Prabhupada translates, of great activities. So his father was so great and his activities were also so great. So he got all these qualities from his father, Prithu Maharaj. On the contrary, we also see one more story that comes in 9th canto, chapter 4, the story of Nabhag Maharaj and his son Nabhag. So when Nabhag, he has gone to his Gurukul and he stays there for a long time. So when Maharaj Nabhag, he retires, the other sons, they divide the property amongst themselves. And when Nabhag, he comes back from his Gurukul, there is no property left. And then he goes and tells his son that since I am also Kshatriya, I need something to rule. So he's something to take over. So his brothers, they say that there is nothing left since we felt you won't be coming back. And now we have kept only one thing for you. That's our father. So Nabhag, he questions, how come you can claim proprietorship over our father? Father belongs to everybody. So how can you give me that belongs to everybody to me? So here we see that there is a, we can't say dispute, but there is a difference of opinion between all the brothers. And they are not ready to give his share, in spite of him being a legal heir to the property. And then the dispute is settled by his father. He says, don't worry, I'll give you some other means to earn your livelihood. There is a yagya that is happening and you supply the brahmanas with the proper mantras that you have learned from your guru. And that is how he is able to earn his wealth. So we see here that that bhratra vatsalata is not seen here in this pastime. But there is one more level where we see love for brother is also shown. In just like in Ramayana, when Bharat comes back to his Ayodhya, and when he understands that Mata Kaikeyi had planned something for him, but which only created disaster, and that time he gives one explanation to Mata Kaikeyi that why Ram should be the king. And there he quotes that he is saying this to Mata Kaikeyi that see, in your country also, not only in the human society but also in the animal society, the same rule applies. What rule? That the eldest son becomes the king. And there he quotes a very simple but very profound example. He says, even in the animal kingdom, if you see peacocks, he says that in your country, back to your country of your father, there are so many peacocks. And even if you see the peacocks, in the community of peacocks, the eldest son has the crown. No other son in the peacock family has the crown. Only the eldest son. So he's saying that, see, that's the rule of the nature that the eldest son is given the crown, the topmost position. So what point we are trying to drive here is, for any relationship to survive and grow, four things are required. First is, in any relationship, there has to be para utkarsha sahishnuta. Yes, there may be somebody always, there will always be somebody who is better than us, who is doing better than us. So that para utkarsha, utkarsha means his growing has to be tolerated. If that is there, then relationship will flourish. Just like we see this in Damodar Leela also. Radha Govind Maharaj always quotes this example. He says that why the milk overflow? Because the milk is saying, see, I am also milk. And what Krishna is drinking from his mother's breast is also milk. So in that sense, we are God brothers. But at this moment, my God brother is making more advancement than me because he is directly serving Krishna. And there, if he is serving Krishna, then I have no scope for serving Krishna. So there was envy. There was no sahishnuta. He couldn't handle that situation. There was envy that was seen in the milk. That was boiling on the stove, and that is why he decided to commit suicide. So that para utkarsha sahishnuta, that tolerance has to be there when somebody is doing something better, even God brothers or God sisters, this thing has to come up. Now, then there is something called as vega sahishnuta, tolerance of the six forces that has to be there. Then there is dvandva sahishnuta, that means life has to be accepted as it comes. Good will also come and bad will also be coming. So we have to accept life as it comes. This world is the world of duality. Where there is happiness, there will be distress. Where there is summer, there will be winter. So it has to be accepted as it is coming. And fourth is paramata sahishnuta. There will always be difference of opinion wherever you go in this entire creation. Amongst devotees, non-devotees, anywhere, there will always be mata, difference of opinion. And we have to deal with all the opinions in a very proper way. Because multiple people means multiple ways of thinking. And that is why there has to be samanvaya. Samanvaya means there has to be reconciliation, or we have to harmonize so that things can work in a proper way. So in this, if we see the pastime, if two pastimes that we compare, we may feel that have the parents failed to impart the proper samskara? Because as parents, everybody is trying to give their best. So have they failed? If we see, we have to see this on a different level also. It's not that the parents are failing to give samskara. Parents do impart samskara, but they don't test on how much is been absorbed by the son or daughter. Now you may ask, how do you test? So there are provoking situations that test the capacity of any individual. His reaction to any situation will show what he has grasped till now or what he has cultivated. Just like there is a story that Radha Govind Maharaj always gives. He quotes the story that there was a sadhu who had a long beard, and every morning for his sadhana, he used to go on the bank of the river in all seasons. So he would take cold water bath, and as soon as he used to come out of the waters, there was one old lady who used to pass at the same time. Now what this old lady used to do is, as soon as she used to come close to him, she used to ask that sadhu, is your beard real or fake? And she used to pull his beard to check. But she used to make fun of every day. This would be the, he used to come out after his bathing and she would ask him the same question, is your beard fake or is it real? So the sadhu was daily tested, and he had the facility to test himself on what he was cultivating, whether he was cultivating that tolerance or no. He had that facility. So when that sadhu was on his deathbed, then he told his disciples or whoever his followers are, he said, call that old lady, I want to speak to her. And then that old lady, she comes, and then he says, I want to answer the question what you used to ask daily for so many years. Then she said, "Arey, but now you're dying." He said, okay, but I can still answer your question. You used to ask whether this real beard is real or fake. He said, this is a real beard. Then that lady asked, you could have told this far before. He said, that time I was not matured as a sadhu. Now since I am matured and for whole life I had handled all my provoking situation, and now I am on my deathbed, I am sure that I have matured enough and Krishna will come and take me back, so I can tell that this beard is real. So that provoking situation will test the candidate on how much he is absorbing every now and then. So the solution is what? So somebody asks, what is the solution? So there has to be constant exposure to the association of great personalities. There has to be constant exposure to that individual. Only then that individual can grow in his thinking and in his life. Hearing from great souls on a daily basis is very, very important. Then maybe he a child, or maybe he a great person, or any person, if he has to become greater than what is right now, he has to hear from the superiors who are authorities in their own field. Just like Vijitashva's case, we see that Vijitashva was constantly in association of Prithu Maharaj, and constantly learning. He saw the life of Prithu Maharaj very closely. He was witness to the life of his own father. he saw his father being provoked twice. Once he had heard that he was provoked by Mother Earth, and second, he saw life when he was provoked by Indra. But at that time, great personality like Brahmaji came to his rescue. We saw that. His father heard from Brahmaji, and that is why he could take a very proper decision. And he also saw that his father was hearing from four Kumaras about devotional life. And that had such great impact on his mindset that he had a clear understanding of what is useful and what is harmful for my personal life. And that is why Prabhupada in his purports, in further purports also Prabhupada mentions, the whole process of spiritual life is meant for understanding the order to produce the most auspicious mindset or the state of mind. To produce the most auspicious state of mind. So for that we need to understand what is auspicious and what is not auspicious. And for that we need training every now and then. We need to train our mind and intellect to understand what is proper, what is improper, what is good, what is bad. We need to train our mind to see any situation that comes in our life, good or bad, in a very proper way. Just like last Sunday, Shyamananda Prabhu was giving this wonderful example. He had some problem in his knee and he had to see a doctor. So he went to a doctor and then the doctor said, we have to make an x-ray of your knee. And they did an x-ray. And so doctor went for his visit. He went for a round. And by that time he was sitting in his doctor's cabin. Prabhuji was sitting in doctor's cabin. And by the time the x-ray arrived, and the person who got the x-ray left keeping the x-ray on the table. So Prabhuji thought that let me try and analyze my own knee. And there is something called as a backlight, and he kept the x-ray on the backlight. And he was seeing there is no problem in my knee. It seems absolutely normal. And since he was seeing through his own perspective, by the time the doctor came back. And when the doctor came back, he saw that Prabhuji is seeing the x-ray. So first thing the doctor told him that, Prabhuji, you are holding the x-ray upside down. Then Prabhuji could understand, I am holding it in an improper way, in a way that will not give me the proper results. He was trying to analyze the thing, and he was feeling, he is saying the x-ray seems absolutely normal, so why is that pain? Then the doctor told him, Prabhuji, this is how you hold the x-ray, this is how you interpret the x-ray, and there is this problem in your knee. If you do these things, that problem will be solved. So the doctor is trained to see the situation. We are not trained to see all situations properly. That is why training is absolutely necessary. And we see here, Vijitashva was trained by his father. That is why he is called Prutuputra. Every now and then, why Prithu Maharaj's name is coming? Because he was with his father, he saw it very closely. Just like in the third shloka, we see Shukdev Goswami saying, he had three sons who were formerly demigods of fire. Later, they went back to heaven by practice of mystic yoga. And in that purport, Prabhupada, he has one more name, that is Antardana. Antardana means one who can disappear at will. So, Prabhupada in his purport, he is saying, Vijitashva knew, Prabhupada is quoting, why he got this name Antardhan, that is related to the Indra's pastime. When Indra came to steal the sacrificial horse, Vijitashva could understand that it was Indra who was disguised and acting wrongly. Still he did not kill Indra. Why? Because he was trained. What was he trained in? Do not judge. He was trained to see Indra. Prabhupada writes this in his purport. Prabhupada says he was trained to see that Indra is the servant of Lord Krishna. He is appointed for a certain service. And that is why he did not kill Indra. So if somebody is questioning why we should read Shastra, it is exclusively to see us, exclusively to train ourselves in seeing the different circumstances of the world in a proper way. So that we can easily come out of it and we don't take wrong decisions in that. That is why Prabhupada is again and again quoting, Srila Prabhupada is quoting 9.30, Api chet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag. sadurev samantavya. Krishna is using the word mantavya. He is saying, this is my mat, my mantav, this is my opinion. Why is Krishna saying his opinion? Is he forcing? No, Krishna wants us to train ourselves to align with his vision, to see this world from his viewpoint. And how he wants us to see a practitioner, a devotee? He says, apichet su duracharam. Achar is behavior, durachar is bad behavior, su durachar is the worst behavior. What Krishna is saying, even if somebody is su durachar, but bhajate, if he is practicing devotional service, ananya bhak, without any motive, he is sadhu. He is sadhu for me, samyak vyavastito hi sir. And if he is determined to serve back again, Krishna is saying, you better align your vision to think or see of the devotee as a sadhu and not a sudhuracharu. So Krishna wants to train us to see the world in a certain way so that we don't fall trapped. And for training, we need teachers. We need devotees. Just like His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj used to say that Krishna is a theoretical teacher. He spoke Bhagavad Gita and went back to Golok. But after reaching Golok, he understood, I only taught, I didn't show them practical. So again, Krishna came back as Lord Chaitanya to teach how to respect devotees, how to stay in devotee association, how to cultivate devotee association. And then he taught here how to be a devotee. And he also taught how to deal with Krishna, how to pray to Krishna. Everything was taught, just like Gaur Govind Maharaj was saying, when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya to meet Ishwar Puri, he's praying to Ishwar Puri. What is he saying? Samsara samudra haite uddara ho more ei ama dehi samarpilu moto mare. He's saying, samsara samudra hoite, this material existence is a dreadful material existence. So what you do, my Lord? He's speaking to his Guru Maharaj, uddharo more, you please deliver me from this. And how will I be delivered? Deha samarpilu, I am completely surrendered to you. This is how he's teaching from his personal example. So, we have to understand the nature of this world, that this material world is full of painful situations. And then in the sixth shloka, Maharaj Antardhan, as a king, he had certain duties to perform, just like he had to extract taxes, punish the citizens if they go wrong, and severely fine them. So these are the activities the king has to do. But then Shukadev Goswami is saying that he is not willing to do all this. Why? Because he felt that it is not desirable. Just because I am a king, I have to punish people so badly. He was not willing to do all this. But then somebody may question, he is a king, he has to do this as a matter of duty. He tried for some time, but then he felt that this is not what I want to do. And that is why he retired from his duties and then engaged in performance of sacrifices. Now somebody may question, was he acting against his nature? Was he trying to avoid his duty just like Arjuna did? No. The seventh shloka makes it very clear that why he was engaged in sacrifice, because he was atmadrik. He was self-realized. He had seen the truth. Samadhina. He was always in samadhi. So let's try to analyze this situation through some examples. We should be able to differentiate between who is on what level and then come to a certain conclusion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are three levels of devotees. One is a Kanishta Bhakta. Kanishta Bhakta is one who performs his Varnashram Dharma for pleasure of Lord Hari. He is doing Nishkam Karma Yoga. And through Nishkam Karma Yoga, he gets purified. So his duties are his worship. how he worships the Lord? By performing his Varanashram Dharma or whatever duties he is supposed to do. He is doing that as an act of worship to please Lord Hari. Now when he does that Nishkam Karma Yoga, he gets purified, then he meditates. Once he is purified, then he is able to meditate on the Atma. Then he gets a realization that yes, he is an Atma, not a body. Then he meditates on the Paramatma. Then he gets the realization, oh yes, there is somebody else who is there with me, that is the Paramatma, the Lord Himself. And when he sees the Paramatma, then he comes out of that trance, then he starts practicing Bhakti Yoga. So it's a very gradual and a long and slow process. From Nishkam Karma to get realization of Atma, Paramatma, and then you come back to this same thing. You come back to Bhakti Yoga. And after this, so what is the sign and symptom of a Kanishtha Bhakta? Just like this one example that comes. He sees Krishna only in the deity form. Just like we see some devotees, they say that Krishna is present exclusively only in Srimad Bhagavatam. No. Vyasa is saying, Adav Madhav Chante Cha Sarvatra Hariye. The Puranas are filled with glories of Krishna. We should be able to train ourselves to see Krishna everywhere, even in the Puranas and Itihasas. So that is the sign of a Kanishtha. He is able to see Krishna only in the deity form and nowhere else. And from there, from Kanishtha, he becomes Madhyam and then he becomes Uttamadhikari. So this is the basic level. And there is something called as a Parinishtha Bhakta. Parinishtha Bhakta is, he is purified, totally purified, but he worships Krishna only through the Navavidha Bhakti. He performs his prescribed duties. So somebody may ask why he is performing his prescribed duties if he is already purified. Then 3.20 is Krishna is saying, Karmanyevai Samsiddhi Astita Janakade Loka Sangraha Mevapi. For the Loka Sangraha, to set an example for others. So that is why Arjuna is questioning. Krishna is saying, Krishna, I am already purified. Krishna says, okay, you may be purified by Nishkam Karma Yoga, but to set an example, Loka Sangraha, you have to act, you have to fight to set an example. And how does a Parinishtha Bhakta act? Krishna says, Yat Karoshi, Yad Ashnashi, Yad Yoshi, Dadashi, Yat Tapasyasi Kaunte, Tat Krushva Madharma. Whatever he does it as an offering to the Supreme Lord. Kanishtha Bhakta will first do the act and then he'll offer. Parinishtha Bhakta wholesale every now and then he's just offering. Even his breath, even maintaining the body, he's doing it as a seva for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Because he is seeing the connection of the body in service to Krishna. He is thinking that if this body is not maintained properly, how will I serve Krishna? That is why sleeping, eating, walking, drinking, evacuating, every action is just an offering to Krishna, is then seva to Krishna. This Parinishtha Bhakta is doing Varnashram duties externally as offering to, he is doing his duties as offering to Krishna just to show the world that yes, this is how you should act. That is his external behavior. But internally he is constantly thinking about Krishna every now and then, in whatever way, in Navavidha Bhakti, whatever way he feels is comfortable. And that is why Krishna is quoting Janak Maharaj. He is telling Arjuna, you should act like Janak Maharaj. Internally he was completely absorbed in Krishna, but externally, Loka Sangraha, you are showing, acting, how to do the duties. So Krishna wanted to tell Arjuna that you don't give up your duties because you are feeling inconvenience. That is whimsical. You better do your duties for Loka Sangraha, even if you are thinking that you are purified. Because for taking sannyas, even if Arjuna takes, he is saying that I'll become a beggar. Beggar means what? A sannyasi. He says, I'll go from door to door and beg. Krishna says, what if some impurity comes back again, bounce back again? Sannyas will not remove impurity, but Nishkam Karma will remove your impurity. What is that impurity? The clearing of the mindset. That can be done by Nishkam Karma. So, under any circumstances, you cannot give up doing your activities. And the third is Nirpeksha Bhakta. So Nirupeksha Bhakta is only concerned about bhajan. He has no concern with the Varnashram system. He has no concern. Just like Krishna is saying in 9.14, Satatam Kirtayantum, that is the sign of a Nirupeksha Bhakta. 24 hours he is just absorbed in Krishna. And one more symptom Krishna is giving in the 18th chapter. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. He has given up all his duties to his society. Just like if you see two examples, Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev Goswami right from his childhood. As soon as he came out of his mother's womb, he was liberated. He was very clear that I don't want to get entangled. And that is why immediately he left. But what happened? Then he got to hear about Krishna, and that cleared, that made him grow even more advanced. From an impersonalist, he became a personalist. And that is how he became absorbed in the leelas of the Krishna. His vision expanded. So he could see Krishna everywhere now, in person, not in his impersonal form. And one more example that comes is Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is saying, oh, I don't want to do any sannyas, do any tarpan. I have given up all the active because I am only absorbed in thinking about the son of Maharaj Nandan. That is my sannyavandan, that is my tarpan, that is everything that is included. Everything is included in this one activity. So that is why if we want to understand whether Maharaj Antardhan left before time or no, 7th shloka makes it very clear that he is a nirapeksha bhakta because he is seeing Krishna all times and all places. The word used is Atmadrik. He is a self-realized. He has seen the truth. He has understood the truth. And that is why Samadhina is always keeping himself absorbed in Samadhi of Krishna. Now somebody may feel that how about Bharat Maharaj? Bharat Maharaj, what category comes? Bharat Maharaj was also a Nirapeksha Bhakta since we all know that he was on the stage of Bhava. His mind was completely purified. Now somebody may say, if he was on the Bhava stage, then how he diverted? So we have to see every pastime in different lights. Pastime of Bharat Maharaj is highlighting the point of lack of association can lead to deviation in spiritual life. Because a person on the stage of Bhava, there is least chance, according to Krishna, Krishna is saying, name bhakta pranashyati, according to this tattva, he cannot fall. But to show this point that lack of association can cause that diversion, that is why this Bharat Maharaj pastime, Krishna is trying to say that my words, name bhakta, my devotee will never fall, is true because Krishna never leaves his devotee. Krishna always protects. Now you will say, how he protected? He protected the consciousness of Bharat Maharaj. When Bharat Maharaj was transferred to the body of a deer, he was totally aware of his past devotion. And that is why we see him. As soon as he was born, he grew up and he left his mother. And where did he go? He went near the ashram of the sages and sadhus and sought their association. He was constantly hearing. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he was far more advanced in the body of a deer than he was as Bharat Maharaj. He was constantly absorbed in Krishna in the body of deer. He had already perfected his life as a deer. But when the time was ripe for him to leave the body of a deer, he felt that now I should go back to the spiritual world, back to Krishna. The Prakriti said, as per the rule, you cannot go back to Krishna in the body of a deer. Of course, there are cases, we are not speaking of that, but here in this case, Prakriti is saying, no, you cannot go back to the spiritual world in this body, and so hence you have to take one more body. And that is why he had to come back as Jada Bharat. He would have gone in that body also. But as Jada Bharat, he was in the topmost consciousness. And that is why to remain undetected, he behaved in a very weird way. People were thinking he is completely jada, completely foolish. So Bharat Maharaj was also Nirapeksha Bhakta, there is no doubt in that. So Bharat Maharaj case, Prabhupada is saying that he is publicly chastised, but internally he got lot of kripa from Lord Krishna. Publicly to show the world that you have made a mistake, and publicly was chastised. But internally, Krishna gave him so much of kripa, so much of joy in devotional service, that even as a deer, he was fasting. Hardly any time he was eating some leaves here and there just to maintain the body, and maximum time he was just sitting near the ashram of the sages and hearing about Krishna. So Jad Bharat case is also Nirapeksha Bhakta, since he was on the very high platform of purifying his consciousness. He had his consciousness completely purified. And then the ninth shloka, the current shloka, he is saying Havirdhana and his wife Havirdhani. And he is saying that, how was he? He was Sumahabhaga. He was very, very fortunate. Nishnanta. What Nishnanta means, he was very expert. What was he? Expert in Kriya Kandeshu. He was expert in fruitive activities. And what? Also, in what? Yogeshu, in mystic practices. Now, we may feel that Sumahabhaga, very fortunate, and Nishnanta is very expert, but he should have been expert in devotional service. But that is seen contrary here. Shukadeva Goswami is saying Kriya Kandeshu Yogeshu. He is expert in yajna, fruitive activities, and Yogeshu. How does this happen? So at times it may happen, just like in case of Priyavrat Maharaj. So Priyavrat Maharaj, eldest son, he also did pure devotee. Now, Prabhupada makes very clear that how come a pure devotee's son not become a pure devotee? Because the birth of his son took place when he was very passionate. In that state of mind, he gave birth to a son, and hence he was not a pure devotee. And that is why we see that his eldest son went back to the heavenly planet, higher planet. He is not going back to God. So that is why we have to understand that clearing of that mindset is so very important. Havirdhana, his name itself is indicative of Havi. Havi means the butter, the oblation that is offered. Havirdhana, Havirdhana means the pot of butter. That means his entire existence was meant for sacrifices. Havirdhana, Vardhana of the Havi. Oblations that are to be offered. But still he is called Mahabhagavai because his lineage is very powerful. He is coming in the line of Prithu Maharaj, and that will be the saving grace for this entire lineage. Even though we may see that from here a bit diversion will take place. Now here Prachini Bharhi, his son will be Prachini Bharhi, who will be far more expert than him, than his father Havirdhana. And he is not only performing one sacrifice, sacrifice after sacrifice, sacrifice after sacrifice. It is said that when Prachini Bari used to perform sacrifice, there was a stream of blood. There was like a small stream of blood that was flowing. So many animals were sacrificed in that for that sacrifice. So Sumahabhaga means he was fortunate because he had a very great lineage. Even though he became a Prajapati, now he was made Prajapati because at that time that seva was to be done. But in case of Prachini Bari, that will not be the case. And that is why Sumahabhaga, again, why Sumahabhaga for Prachini Bari also? Because he was personally rescued by Narada. His sons the Prachetas who will go for tapasya will also be rescued. That is why the entire lineage is very fortunate. Sumahabhaga. Now Prachini Bari, Narad Muni feels, Hari Baba, he is the son of my disciple, grandson of my disciple, Dhruva. How can he be enamored by Karma Kanda? I have to say, And so that is why Narad Muni personally comes to save King Prachinibhari. And there his sons who are sent for tapasya, how will they become Sumahabhaga? When the Prachetas reach, now what has happened is, now Prachinibhari tells his son that please go and perform tapasya because you have to take over the kingdom. And to become a king, the first criteria is you have to be sense controlled. So go and perform tapasya to control your senses. Now they are thinking, okay, to control senses we have to worship somebody. So their intense thought of all the Prachetas was, who is to be worshipped? Who is the one person who can fulfill all our desires? And that is where, when the Supreme Lord understood the intense desire of the Prachetas, that they are very keen to understand who the Supreme Lord is, who is to be worshipped, what is the best method of worship. Is Lord Brahma the Supreme? Is Lord Shiva Supreme? Is Lord Vishnu Supreme? Who is Supreme? They had such intense desire. And that is where the all-pervading Lord Shiva, he comes to understand. Lord Vishnu tells him, my dear Lord Shiva, please guide this Prachetas and make them so Mahabhaga, very fortunate by telling about me. And if you read the prayer, Rudra Gita, Lord Shiva makes it so very clear, so very clear. He says, I am not supreme, Brahma is not. He gives the hierarchy. He says, Lord Brahma is at the bottom. The demigods, forget demigods, they are far below. Brahma is, I am superior to Brahma, and superior to me is Lord Vishnu. Not only is Lord Vishnu superior to me, I constantly namami cha and smarami cha. What I am doing the entire day? I am offering constant obeisances to Lord Vishnu and smaramichi, constantly remembering Lord Vishnu. So this intensity to understand is very important. Just like in the 4th canto, 4825, Narad Muni, Naradastad Upakkarane, Jnatva Tasya Chikirshitam, Sprishtva Murdanya Agagnanam, Parina Praha Vismita. Narad Muni, as soon as he understands that Dhruva has left, immediately he reaches there. Because he can understand the mind, Jnatva Tasya Chikirshitam. He could understand the activities, Jnatva, of Dhruva, Chikirshitam, the activities. And that is why he comes there and touches the head, Sprishtva Murdhanya Agagnanam, the hand which can destroy the entire ocean of sins. Sprishtva Murdhanya Agagnanam. Agagnanam means destroyer of sin. Sprishtva, he touched his hand. That is the power. Just by touching of the hand, his Dhruva has become Sumahabhaga. Can you imagine the power of Narad Muni? Just like in Bali Maharaj's case also, when did Bali Maharaj actually became a Mahajan? When Lord Vamanadeva came there at the scene, and when Bali Maharaj, he washed the feet of Vamandev, and as soon as the water that had washed Lord Vamandev's feet, Bali Maharaj took on his forehead, that was the time entire mindset changed of Bali Maharaj. Sins were destroyed, everything that was harmful for his devotional service was entirely destroyed. Agagna. Sprishtva Murdhanya Agagnan. It was destroyed just by the water that had touched the feet of Vamandev. Entire thing changed. That is why Prabhupada writes in that purport, Narad Muni's Trikalajna is so powerful that he can understand the past, present and future of every jiva. He is just like the super soul. So that is the function of the Lord and the devotees. The devotees have no other function. They do exactly like the Lord does. What do they do? Bringing sincere souls back to Godhead is what is the role of the pure devotees. And as per their level of purification, they give them a sadhana so that they can follow it and come back to the Lord. And that is how this shloka is saying that they are Sumahabhaga, very, very fortunate. The entire lineage of Prithu Maharaj is Sumahabhaga. Here you may find some diversion, but no, in due course of time it will be created. Why? Because that connection is there. and the prachetas, how they became so so mahabhaga, because that end by pracheta, the name itself, pra adhika cheta, pracheta means those who are very happy, delighted. Why they are delighted? Because now they'll be getting the answers to all their queries, and that is the mercy of Lord Krishna, that Lord Krishna personally instructs Lord Shiva to go and tell them about devotional service, and from there the entire lineage again grows up and becomes su mahabhaga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So anybody has any questions, we can take. Since I have to rush back to some other services, we can take one question.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, thank you so much, first of all, for starting off the class so beautifully and explaining why Vijitashva had this particular sort of conditioning because of the close association of his father and watching things from his father. That makes things very, very clear. My question was more about why you would say that Pavirdhana, the son of Vijitashva, was specifically involved in Karma Kanda, because we see that historically all these kings, they were performing great sacrifices. So his name Havirdana, why does it restrict him to Karma Kanda and not something like more like a sacrifice that is in Krishna consciousness? Because I don't understand why he was delegated to be that way.
Just like last time somebody asked me a question that why the Pandavas, they performed not devotional service, externally seemingly devotional service, but internally it was devotional service. Externally they had taken the process of Ashtanga Yoga. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes it very clear that Krishna had taught them that process, and that is why they took to that process. Just like here, why Prithu Maharaj has taken to the Ashtanga Yoga process? Because the Sanat Kumar had taught him that process, and to honor his guru, the method taught, he had to follow, and that was the method for that given time. Now here we may find that the same thing is continuing. Prithu Maharaj took to Ashtanga Yoga, and then his son is seemingly taking to the sacrifices, process of sacrifice. But Prabhupada in his purport is making very clear that even though that time that the method of attaining the Supreme Lord was sacrificed, internally he was constantly absorbed in chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Yes, true.
Yeah. So here Havirdhana, now his father was expert, so that thing has to come down to the son.
Yes.
Now you may somebody may feel that why he has to do this. Because Prabhupada, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes this very clear that there was the time where Prajapatis were required, and this Havirdhana was accepted as one of the Prajapatis. And Prajapati can only be a person who is devotee of Lord Krishna.
But
what is
it?
That is one.
Wasn't Barhishat the Prajapati or Havirdhana?
Barhishat became the Prajapati, yes.
So, Havirdhana was performing sacrifices, but it...
Yes, because his name is indicative of what the activities he's done. Havirdhana and his wife Havirdhani.
Yeah. So, that means that it need not necessarily be in a karma-kandic attitude, rather...
No. We can't say that. We can't make that conclusion that it was karma-kanda, because the entire lineage is into devotional service.
Right. That was the point.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And very nicely analyzed. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, should we end the class, Mataji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I think many people will have questions. Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the class. Prabhuji, my question, you mentioned like, you know, Vibhutsava, his duty, but he goes to perform the sacrifices. Like we see great souls, you know, to attract common people, they tend to perform the duties right now.
I didn't get your question, Prabhuji. Can you please repeat it?
So here we see Yugitsava, he's instead of performing his duty of king, like punishing the people, he's going and doing the sacrifices right from. And you mentioned, depending on the personality and the realization, you know, their level, they do different things, but generally to attract common man and not disturb them, generally they perform their duties right from. Sorry if you did not get my question.
Yes. Shall I repeat your question? If it is wrong, please kindly correct me. You are saying that he took to sacrifices, he gave up his duties and performed sacrifices, rather than he should have been trying to teach people through his example. This is what you want to ask?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes.
Yes, Prabhuji, the purport Prabhupada will make very clear that he was already on a very higher platform. He was already a Nirapeksha Bhakta. So, Nirapeksha Bhakta means he was already on a mood of constant bhajan, where he wanted to just serve the Lord. Means already he was a Uttam Adhikari. And the activities that he was supposed to do was more on a Madhyam Adhikari platform. So, there was an incompatibility between mindset. The mindset is required of a Madhyam Adhikari, but he was on a Uttam Adhikari platform. So that incompatibility was not giving him that peace of mind. And that is why he felt that it is the right time that I give up my kingdom to my sons so that they can set proper examples for the praja. If he could have also done, but since most of the time what happens, the problem with Uttam Adhikari is he sees everybody on an equal platform. And when somebody is seen on, all are seen on equal platform, so there is no question of punishment. And when there is no punishment, there is no rectification and no purification. But the praja, the word praja in itself means their condition. Prakrishta jayate means they are born through a specific process for a specific goal to be achieved. And for that to be achieved, they have to be purified. So he was not able to do it, so he handed over it to his son, so that they could do better than him, because rules have to be established. And for rules to be established, there has to be correction for the praja. So that is what I could understand from that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So should we stop, Mataji?
Prabhuji, is there anybody having any questions for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more questions, we would like to end the call here by offering presences to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhya Shri Kripa Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Shri Sukumar Gaura Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.